Now, adjust the volume control so that the sound can be heard in all parts of the room.
This is the Protect Your Assets podcast.
Mr. Sandman,
you get the idea?
Bring me a dream.
It's on the internet.
Make him the cutest that I've ever seen.
Go on.
Give him two lips like roses and clover.
It's a great program.
And tell him that his lonesome nights are over, Sandman.
What is it?
It's exactly what I need.
It's a slam dunk.
It's great.
It's like no cheese I've ever tasted.
Please turn on your magic beat.
Here he comes.
Mr. Sandman, bring me a
Here's David Hollander.
Have you bought anything off the internet lately? I know the picture looked great, but when that big box arrives and you start unwrapping it, you realize, I got to put this together. That's the time I usually break out my toolkit and see if the screwdriver fits or what have you. And then inevitably, I'm looking at the FAQ to figure out, what did I miss? Well, if you're like me, you need a do-it-yourself guide before you get started. So I figured, hey, what about retirement? Do you have a FAQ for retirement? Well, we do. And today, I'm going to attempt to bring you the top FAQs we get on a weekly basis. If you're a new retiree or thinking about retiring, you're going to want to pay attention to this because you're only going to find it here on Protect Your Assets this weekend. So stick around. Good morning. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. And for those of you just joining us for the first time, welcome. As you can hear from the jingle, people call me the Sandman. And that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions every single week. And that's because I am a financial advisor, been running a financial firm for almost 30 years, and a practicing attorney. Hear incredible stories every week. Thank you for sharing. If you have a question, maybe something came up, you want to know what the Sandman thinks, you can always tweet me at PYA Radio. Again, that's at PYA Radio. So how much money do you need to retire? Or how about this one? How do taxes work when it comes to Social Security or a pension? Well, these are great questions. In fact, these are some of the top questions we get all the time when people start asking or thinking about retirement. So today, what we've done is we put together a list of the most FAQs, the frequently asked questions that we get, and more importantly, the answers to those questions. And we're going to be talking about this today. So listen carefully to see if any of these apply to you. Now, let's get started. Well, higher taxes rattled the markets this past week, and the Dow was down about 0.5%, S&P off 0.1%, and the NASDAQ was off about 0.3%. That's right. So the question came in, what are the capital gains tax headlines mean for the markets? Well, as you may have heard, there was an article that came out from Bloomberg this past week that the Biden administration proposing a 43.4% capital gain tax rate from 20% for those making over $1 million. And so the market didn't like that. And particularly a lot of people who maybe have IPOs or stock options or just stocks with big gains, now all of a sudden they're facing a pretty hefty tax potentially. And the question is, well, is that going to hit us this year since I've already made some sales maybe in January or February? Now all of a sudden I'm looking down the barrel of a pretty big tax coming my way, and there's not much you can do about it if it gets passed before the year's up. And so some background on that, the administration has essentially split the infrastructure slash social agenda into two parts. And the first, as you may know, is the Build Back Better plan for the physical infrastructure. And that's supposed to be primarily paid for by that corporate tax increase we talked about a few weeks ago, where corporate taxes were going to pop up to, again, proposed 28%. And the second part, which is the American Families Plan, which will be presented next week, is aiming to be paid for by this personal tax increase I'm talking about. So these are risks. These are risks for the market. And sure, they may take a while to become law, But at this point, as history tells us, that making portfolio decisions based on tax proposals could be dangerous, but it also might be a wake-up call. And so the market, as you know, sold off a few days this week as it tried to digest these headlines that were out there. So, you know, what's the question? Well, overall, the markets appear to be exhibiting, right now, I think, complacency more than the euphoria environments we've seen in past bubbles. And I think what we're going to see with the market overall is an expansion, something like we saw in 2013 and 2017. And if we look at history to see where these bulls got into trouble and ran out of steam, if you will, you can look at the 1968 rising inflation. 1973, we had stagflation, the oil embargo. 1980, again, high inflation. 87, remember when that's when I started doing these sort of things. You got Black Monday, the big crash was driven by program trading, again, something new. 2000, I mean, I remember that dot-com bubble. 2007, you had the housing market crisis because of the excessive loaning that was going on. And now 2020, we saw a global pandemic, and then the market obviously snapped back pretty quickly. So the question is the music going to play on? Well, as we know, all good things have to come to an end, including bull markets. But right now, it seems like just from the economic data, we keep seeing that the stock market's music isn't really fading out right now. So I'd say it's likely that the economic recovery transitions into a healthy expansion that should extend for a couple years. Doesn't mean that over the next few years, we're not going to see volatility and drops, because we haven't really seen any sort of meaningful pullback in the last 12 months. And that's because we're seeing conditions improving as we continue to open up. Obviously, the labor market is getting better. Every week I talk about looking at the initial jobless claims. And Thursday's number was pretty strong. It was 547,000, and the estimate was 615. So we continue to see another week of recovery in that market of jobs. And as you know, that's what the Fed keeps saying they want to see. So this rebound is looking pretty good. And as long as that continues, you should expect the Fed, which is the other pillar I've been talking about, to continue to support the market with their low interest rate and their QE. And then this past week, we saw some synchronous global recovery, because now you see other organizations, countries starting to put out their monetary policy. That's a lot like ours, which is helping their economies get better, which will help that portion of your portfolio if you invest internationally. So you want to continue with that. And lastly, corporate profits. You know, sure, the argument is this new tax is going to slow that down. But if you look back in history, even when we had corporate tax increases, and again, these haven't been passed yet. They're going to be negotiated. Let's not kid ourselves. It's going to have to go through some kind of a process to get there. And even if it settles somewhere in the mid-20s, corporations will still make profits as things continue to open up. And markets in the past have done pretty well in that sort of environment. So I'm expecting overall that these tax anxieties, geopolitical tension, any kind of market imbalance or one-off like we've seen with some of these hedge funds, you know, these are going to spark pullbacks just like we expect to see. But overall, the market should continue to do well. So you want to be balanced, obviously, economic recoveries, periods of inflation. You know, I've talked about this. It favors the cyclicals, industrials, financials, materials, commodities, small cap. And that's where you want to be looking at, because those areas typically outperform, even though we've seen that this first part of 21. So overall, that's what you want to do with your portfolio, particularly if you're looking at where you should be investing when markets are high. Last week, if you missed the webinar we did, we were talking about getting some yield in this low interest rate environment. There are opportunities that still exist out there. You just have to know where to look. And so, you know, this is not the time to be complacent. It's the time to reevaluate where you are, what your portfolio looks like, and maybe you move some things around. So next week, we're going to be taking a look at the GDP number for the U.S. personal income, which right now looks pretty good. And then, of course, Thursday, that initial jobless claims number. If the number continues to stay where it is or keeps declining, then that's what the Fed wants to see. And so at some point, they're going to be forced to step up and possibly change some policy. And so just be ready for that, because that is in the past what typically has caused a pause and some kind of a pullback. So the question is, how much money do you need to retire? Well, you're going to find out when we come back. You are listening to The Sandman on the Protect Your Assets Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You can ask The Sandman questions and hear this show, Protect Your Assets, hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, The Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as The Sandman. And you're listening to Protect Your Assets this morning. And hey, I don't know about you, but if you've bought anything on the internet lately, I love when the box shows up and you realize, ooh, I got to put this together. And it's not that easy, is it? So I usually go to the FAQs to figure out what's the best way to get started on the project. And so I was thinking today, what if I could put together an FAQ for retirement? Well, a kind of do-it-yourself guide before you get there. That's exactly what we're going to do this morning. So what are the most frequently asked questions that we get for those who are about to or who are retired? Well, the number one question we get all the time is, how much money do I need to retire? It's a great question, because you want to retire and you may even have a plan of when you will call it quits. But your big question that lurks in the back of your mind is, can I do it? Do I really have enough money to retire? Well, there are plenty of different ways to go about answering this question. And you're going to find all kinds of differing opinions depending on the financial advisor or maybe the article that you read on the internet. And there are plenty of, quote, rule of thumb types of planning that people use, such as the 70 to 80% of pre-retirement income for retirement. But I like to ignore the rules of thumb and go with the following method to determine where you stand. So you may want to write this down. It's not too difficult, but the first thing you need to know is, how much monthly income do you need to be comfortable in retirement? You'd be surprised. A lot of people don't know that. And then as you start to think more about it, it gets more complicated. And that's why you have to know how much money you need. Because if you don't know that, then you can't accurately define how much money you're going to need to make it all the way through your potential life expectancy. So here's a few ideas that you could consider just to get started this morning if you're thinking about this or wondering how to do it. Well, first and foremost, you want to create what I call an income budget on what you're spending right now. And you can do that by pulling out your credit card statements, maybe your bank statements, bills you get on a quarterly basis or maybe even annually. And then what you want to do is you need to alter that budget for your perceived retirement life. And what I mean by that is, retirement's going to look different than when you're working. And so you're going to have different expenses, different hobbies maybe you're taking on, and those are going to cost money. So you want to adjust that budget, because it's a budget, for what that period of time is going to look like. And then you want to look at having your Social Security and the other types of income that you're going to have coming in. So maybe you have a pension. And so that takes some time to evaluate and figure out, where do you take it? You know, I explained this again. I had this several times this week, where I have folks who get offered a pension from a big employer. And you're lucky to have that, because a lot of people don't have pensions. They have to do it themselves with their 401ks. But if you have a pension, Your employer will give you usually a few different options. It'll be a lump sum distribution. There may be a 50% to your spouse if you die first. There could be 25% to your spouse if you die first. There's usually multiple options, and you look at that and say, well, which one should I do? And that decision is important, because if you don't make it for very long after you work, where is that money going to go? And is that really a full return of your principal that you saved all these years working? Sometimes it's not. So that question actually changes all the time, because as interest rates move, your pension benefit will change. And so I could have someone come in 6 weeks ago. We could look at it. And if you're going to ask me on Monday, well, what should I do? That could change again. So you constantly have to look at that decision when you decide to take your pension. Now, you may have rents. You may have rents coming in from properties. And again, you have to look at that. Is your cash flow after all your expenses, your taxes, your maintenance costs, your insurance, is your cash flow at 4 or 5% or greater off that real estate? If it's not, in this market we're in right now, you may want to take a look at selling that property and putting that into something else. Because let's face it, if you're making 1% or 2% return on that investment, that doesn't make a lot of sense, particularly with all the liability you have surrounding that. And again, I saw that again several times this week where people would come in, have done very well, saved money for retirement. But as we dig into where the problems are, they've got a single family house out there, an apartment building, in their names or in their trust name. And you talk about liability, your whole estate is on the line if something bad happens with a tenant. They're going to come sue you, and they're going to get access to everything you have if you haven't sequestered that properly. So you have to look at these things. You're going to have money coming off your investments. I know interest rates are low right now, but there's still areas where you can get pretty good returns. Just have to know where to look. And then you have to look at the withdrawal rate of your portfolio. How much are you going to be taking out every year to supplement your other income sources? And how long will that last given the withdrawal rate you're taking? A lot of people make big mistakes here. They overestimate the return on the investment. They overestimate what happens when we have a pandemic or we have a bear market or a correction that's long-lived for a few years. So when we design a retirement plan, we consider things like I've just mentioned. We also consider inflation. We also consider health care. We also consider taxes. And also, it seems like the cost of living just keeps going up if you want to stay here in the Bay Area. So it's a good idea to write all these things down and to look at them so you can make some decisions. Otherwise, how do you know? The next big question that we get all the time is, what is a required minimum distribution? Although you've probably heard of this, it's surprising how many people have not heard of it. It's not surprising to us that even if you have heard of what's the RMD or required minimum distribution, that you simply don't understand how it's calculated or what it is. So let me give this to you this morning. An RMD is the annual withdrawal that you're required to take from a retirement account when you turn 72, period. What's a qualified retirement account, you ask? Well, if you have a 401k or an IRA, just think something that is pre-tax. You haven't paid taxes on it yet. Well, the government wants their money. And at some point, 72 now, they're going to tell you, we want our money, so pay us. Then that is what is known as a qualified account, and you're going to be required to pull money out of it whether you want it or not when you turn 72. And the main premise, as you might have guessed, is that when it comes out of that account, you have to pay income taxes on it. So the government has created a way to force you to pull money out of that account or those accounts if you have multiple ones and pay tax on it. So how does it work? Well, you must take your first distribution by April of the year following the year you reach age 72. And you can take your first withdrawal by the end of that year that you turn 72 if you like. That's the one time you have a choice. And then after that, the choice is gone. Choice is yours. Then use your year-end balance of all these accounts to figure out what it is. So you have to add up the end of year balance on each account, divide it by what's called the uniform lifetime table. And that's how you calculate the number that you have to take out. And you also don't have to take a withdrawal from every single account you have. You just have to take it out of one. So that's a way where you may not be forced to sell a stock that you like. But if you have a 401k, then the money has to come out of that account. So realize that. That's one drawback of a 401k when you do this. Coming up next, don't miss our popular They Say segment, where they say you shouldn't have to pay taxes on your Social Security because you already did. Find out if that is true. It's all coming up next. Keep it right here.
Now you can hear the show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your smart speaker or Android device. Just say, hey, Google, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Learn more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back. I'm David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and you're listening to Protect Your Assets. And today we're talking about the most frequently asked questions we get every week. People are thinking about retiring. Maybe they're retired and something just comes up. Well, you know who to call. You call the Sandman, of course. So now it's time for one of our fan favorite parts of the show, our They Say segment, where we debunk common myths, half-truths, and sometimes bad advice that they say.
Who are they? What do they know that I don't? And what are they saying this week? There's only one man with all the answers. And here he is, David Hollander, the Sandman.
So here's one they say. They say that you don't have to pay taxes on your Social Security income because you already paid taxes on it when you made it. Is that true? No, not necessarily. Here we go. So if you are an individual filing your taxes and you make more than $25,000, then you could pay between 50 to 85% on your Social Security income taxes. Not that tax rate, but it's going to be taxable. That's all I want you to know. So if you make less than $25,000 and you're individual, then you aren't going to pay taxes on your Social Security. Now, if you're a married couple filing jointly, that number starts at $32,000 and north of that. So if you're below the line, then you don't pay taxes. If you're above that line, then it starts to phase in and you could pay up to 85% taxable income on your Social Security benefits. Now, the question is, what is combined income and how is it calculated? How do you get above those numbers? What do they count? I've heard this. Well, you can just get tax-free income. That's not going to count. It's not true. Municipal interest, that counts as part of your adjusted gross income. Any sort of dividends you receive, any sort of rents or profit from businesses you've been involved in, those are all a part of your income each year, and that counts against your Social Security calculation. And what's crazy is that these numbers I just gave you, get this, have not been indexed for inflation all these years. So as income in retirement has gone up just because of inflation, obviously, more and more people are paying more and more income taxes now on their Social Security income. It's sort of like quicksand, and we're sinking. So how do you reduce the countable income that is part of the AGI calculation? It is difficult, but it is not impossible. So here's the key. Here's the key to lower your adjusted gross income without sacrificing spendable cash flow. That's what everybody's looking for. So here's a couple ideas for you. First, take distributions from your Roth IRA. Those are generally tax-free, whereas your traditional IRA is not. Second, you could take loans. If you have life insurance policies that have cash value, Those policies can be used to take tax-free income out of them as long as you don't create what's called a modified endowment contract. And another option, which somebody came in this week, we talked to her about this. Again, we don't do these, but it's an option for you to consider. And in my book, Protect Your Assets, I have a chapter devoted to this subject because it's complicated. It's known as the reverse mortgage. If you're living here in the Bay Area and you have all that equity in real estate, you know what I'm talking about. Your houses are worth over $1 million now. And it's all in the ground. You can't get at it. And you don't want to leave your house. You have plans to stay there till you die. As I tell my kids, you're taking me out of their feet first. So if that's the way you feel, well, a reverse mortgage could make some sense because you could borrow some of that equity. You don't have to pay the loan back until you're dead. And the family can deal with it. And that cash flow that you could start to generate can help you pay your bills every month and not worry about maybe some things that you're concerned about right now. So all of those things are ways that you could reduce that tax that's going to hit your Social Security when or if you're actually taking it right now. You may wonder, well, how do I do these things? Again, you need to sit down with a tax professional. As you know, in our office here, we have tax professionals, we have financial professionals and attorneys who work together as a team to help you make these decisions. Now, the next frequently asked question we get has to do with taking a pension or withdrawal out of your IRA account, because those are treated the same for tax purposes as your ordinary income. In the eyes of the IRS, these payments or accounts have not been taxed. So when you take withdrawals out of them, or when you start a pension paying you, it's taxed upon, we call, the occurrence. Or in other words, when it happens, when that money hits your bank account, to make it simple. You're going to pay ordinary income taxes on that. And you have to control this because you have control. A lot of you think you don't. You think, okay, I start the income, it's coming, that's good, it feels good. But then you get the wake-up call when you go file your tax return. And you say, wow, is there anything I could have done about that? And most times there's not, because you haven't done anything. It doesn't mean that this next year you can't take advantage of it and flip it around and make it to your advantage. So right now we can look at the current tax brackets and we can see if you're an individual and you make less than $85,000 or less than $171,000 if you're married filing jointly, then you're going to pay 22% federal tax. Now I get the question a lot, which is, well, let's say I'm at a married couple filing jointly. We're at $120,000 of income. We have an IRA account. We're in our early 60s. What should we do? Well, this is where mapping and using financial planning tools really help a lot, because what we can do is we can look at the return on your account. We can calculate with a 95% certainty what's going to happen in the next 6 months. I mean, think about that. And let's say that the account looks like it's going to return 4 or 5% over that period of time. Annualized now. Don't get excited. And when you see the money coming off of that account, you add that as part of your income. Now, what about when you start to get 72? What's the RMD going to be? Well, we can, again, use current numbers that we have, and we can calculate what that amount will be. And a lot of times we see somebody who's going to have a big chunk of money all of a sudden start coming out of their retirement account, like I was talking about earlier, even though they don't need it. But guess what? You have to take it, and you have to pay tax on that. And so the question becomes, is it a good idea now to either start converting some of that difference between the $125,000 I'm making now and the $171,000 I was just talking about, roughly $50,000 of phantom income, if you will, that you can create, pay 22% tax on it federal, and now you've controlled how much tax you pay on that. Because if we just look out in the future and we can see all of a sudden now with that RMD, you're going to be, say, in the 24% tax bracket, because now all of a sudden you have an extra $60,000 a year of income because you didn't do anything about it all those years. Well, guess what? You're going to pay more taxes on that money in the future. So we like to say it's much better to pay tax now if you know how much it's going to be and you can control that, particularly if you have a delta between what you're making now and what that tax bracket is. Pay your tax, reinvest it in something that's tax-free, like a Roth. And then later, when you go to harvest that, that money comes out tax-free to you, so you don't end up paying more taxes later. Because it's pretty obvious right now that with all the stimulus that's gone on, with all that free money that's floating around out there, someone's going to have to pay for it. And that someone may be you. And so what can you do about it? Well, you can do a lot. You just have to know where to start. So during our review process, we like to show people the difference between what we call gross income planning and net income planning. Because you don't spend gross amounts of income and the budget you come up with is net by usually default. So you need to take advantage of that. And if you've been living a few years, you've probably seen what some people do and you wonder, well, how do we do this? Well, we like to do what we call a stress test on your portfolio and on your plan to see if it will survive taxes or the next market meltdown that's just around the corner. What are you going to do? A financial stress test can help uncover problems that could come up in the future. Coming up next on Protect Your Assets, how much will healthcare cost you in retirement? It's a great question. It always pays to keep it tuned right here to Protect Your Assets. We'll be right back.
You can ask the Sandman questions and hear this show Protect Your Assets hands-free anytime on your Amazon Echo smart speaker. Just say, Alexa, ask Protect Your Assets to play the latest podcast. Find out more at libertygroupllc.com/voice.
Now back to Protect Your Assets with David Hollander, the Sandman.
Welcome back to Protect Your Assets. I am David Hollander, also known as the Sandman, and that's because I help my listeners sleep well at night by answering their most troubled legal or financial questions. We've been trying to help you gain some much-needed confidence when it comes to figuring out if you can retire. In fact, we've come up with the frequently asked questions of retirement, and this morning we've been going over those. So if you missed any of them, say, hey, Google, connect to Protect Your Assets and find out what they were. I'd like to wish happy birthdays to Rick Sakuta, Dave Withycom, Kara DeRuiter, and Lynette Harity. And of course, Sheila, happy birthday to all of you. Now, how much will your health care cost in retirement? That is a frequently asked question, because healthcare costs can seriously derail your retirement plans and your retirement dreams and can put a heavy burden on your kids or your spouse if you haven't thought about it or planned for it. So many people ask us this question all the time because when they leave their employer's plan, they have to either pick private insurance, Obamacare, or Medicare. And because of the variety and difference that so many people have when it comes to their individual situation, what I'm going to do this morning is give you a general description of what we'll call this healthcare category. So, for example, Fidelity has estimated that a 65-year-old couple who retires today could expect to spend $295,000 in retirement on healthcare-related expenses. So how should you look at these costs? Well, if you're going to retire before you're age 65, then you need to know what insurance are you going to have to pay for. Will it be private? Could you qualify for a government subsidy through Obamacare? Can you go on your wife or your husband's plan if you happen to have one? And what's the out-of-pocket monthly cost going to be if you're in that situation? Now, if you're 65 or older and you're retiring, You're going to qualify for Medicare when you reach 65, assuming you met certain guidelines, which I went over last week. If you missed that, hey, Google, what happened to Medicare? Okay. You're going to have Part B premiums that are going to come out of your Social Security check. But what else? Could you need a Medicare supplemental insurance program? What about the prescription drug benefit? There are lots of different additional coverage and options you have. And again, if you missed any of that, you can go back and listen to my Medicare show that we did last week through our podcast. Now, the one that a lot of people don't think about, and I usually bring this up, is long-term care. Because your insurance and your Medicare don't cover what we call catastrophic illness. And you could be around for 2 to 15 years. We've seen these cases. So what's your plan for long-term care? Well, there's many different ways to do this, and I've done webinars on this subject. If you are on YouTube, you can type in Protect Your Assets. Look for me. There's a long-term care segment on that you can watch. And these costs can be quite expensive. So it's really important for you to budget properly and have proper insurances to cover unknowns, because these things can really get out of hand quickly. Next question we get a lot is, when can I withdraw money from my retirement accounts? Well, that's simple, but you should ask it anyways. When can you access money without penalty or consequences from your retirement account? Well, to make it simple, the golden age is still 59 and a half. But if you have a qualified account like a 401k, an IRA, even a Roth for that matter, there are some exceptions. And the biggest one that we hear about a lot is the 72T exception, which allows you to set up what are called scheduled equal periodic payments to start taking money out of those accounts when you turn 55. Now, there's certain rules and so forth you have to follow, but make sure if you're in that situation, you need it, there may be a solution for you. Another exception would be withdrawing money from a 401k between the ages of 55 and 59 and a half. And many plans will allow you to do this, but you also need to be usually separated from service in order to start that. I'd like to give a big thanks to the Protect Your Assets team today for putting together a great show. My executive producer and network manager, always taking care of me, Kevin Renfer, thank you. And of course, all my fabulous producers this morning, Malcolm, Phil, Brett, because without my team, I'm just another pretty voice on the radio. You've been listening to the Protect Your Assets show. I am David Hollander, the Sandman. Go out and make the rest of your life the best of your life.
All calls have been screened. Callers should not expect their conversations with David Hollander on the radio or with staff to be held in confidence, and that legal information provided on the air is not intended to be a substitute for callers hiring their own lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Proper advice depends on complete analysis of all the facts and circumstances. The information given on this program is in the nature of general financial comment and cannot be relied upon as pertaining to your specific financial situation. California Life Agent number 0B48569. Listeners should consult their own financial advisor or conduct their own due diligence before making any financial decisions. The preceding program was paid for by Liberty Group, LLC. The views and the opinions of the host do not represent those of this station or its ownership. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.